WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The 78, Chicago's largest undeveloped plot of land, sits about a half a mile or so from the heart of Chinatown, and it could soon become the Chicago Fire's new soccer stadium and village. Aside from the cool sports and entertainment angle, officials are promising thousands of new jobs and tourists. But while some like the idea, other local residents say not so fast. We need to be at the table here. Traffic and rising rents top the list of their concerns. Plus, with the 78 being so close to Ping Tom Park, some are worried the historic green space might not be preserved in the process. So in this conversation, our panel will help break down recent development plans for the 78, because there's been more than just these stadium plans. We'll also learn more about how neighborhood residents feel about the various projects. And we'll dig into Chinatown's history of community organizing to protect the residents' best interests. At the table was Sarah Tang, Director of Programs for the Coalition for a Better Chinese American Community, or CBCAC. Debbie Liu, who's a community member and president of Ping Tom Park Advisory Council. She was born and raised in Chinatown. And Matthew Zhao is community member and Teen Coalition for Chinatown intern. Debbie started us off by explaining what we need to know about the 78 site.
Yeah, so it was purchased by Related Midwest in 2017, and there was also a TIF district that was created for it. And at that time, when it was passed, it was under Mayor Rahm Emanuel and then Alderman Solis. And then it switched to, after the election, switched to Mayor Lori Lightfoot and then Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez. Mm-hmm. And now, after the most recent redistricting, it is now in the third ward instead of the 25th ward under Alderman Pat Dowell and now Mayor Brandon Johnson. And so it has gone through a lot.
It's been switching hands a lot.
Change. And this site has been undeveloped for over 100 years. So this is, there's a lot of potential here, but it also has a lot of constraints. There, you can't really access this site, and it's right along the river. There's a lot of opportunities that can be worked around, but we're just really interested to really make sure that this is the best urban planning project that we can have for Chicago and really for the residents of the nearby area.
Yeah, and Sarah, you're nodding there as Debbie was breaking that down for us, and so it sounds like the 78 was in the same ward as Chinatown, but not anymore.
Correct.
Right. What else comes to mind here as you think about just the evolution of this piece of land?
Yeah. So CBCAC did a lot of work keeping tabs on the development in the history of the 8 years we've seen different plans touted as the anchor site. It was once pitched for Amazon headquarters. Then the 78 River 78 Casino at one point, CBCAC really then rallied community members to push back against that due to problem gambling known in the community. And a history of predatory busing in the casino as well. So yeah, that comes to mind. The Teen Coalition for Chinatown with Matthew here have been keeping tabs on it for the last 2 years since the development has had ebbs and flows of these different proposals, and they've done a lot of work in keeping tabs and doing the research.
Ebbs and flows is right, because it's funny, we're talking about so many different things here, but nothing's happening, right? So this current proposal, this is what it brings us to now. The Chicago Fire owner Joe Mansueto is saying that he's going to spend $650 million for this stadium along the Chicago River, just south of Roosevelt, and 22,000 seats. Yes. They plan to break ground by the end of 2025. It's going to be this, they're promising this open air soccer specific stadium, but you could do the concerts and the festivals
sure.
as well. We talked at one point on this program about a proposal by the White Sox for a stadium there too, but with public dollars that didn't quite work out. So when it comes to the stadium, the soccer stadium for the Fire, what are the community's concerns, Debbie?
Yeah, I think we Chinatown has been kind of wanting to be at this table. When Amazon headquarters, when Discovery Partners Institute, the casino, White Sox, Chicago Fire, they've all been proposals that were kind of released to the media before it was released to the community. And there was really no understanding of what's actually happening. So even the Fire, because it is a up-and-coming, more popular sport, there is a desire to learn more and be interested. However, I think really Chinatown has been like a little bit more cautious about how stadiums can actually interact with property values and property adjacent to the area. I know Sarah might be able to chime in about mm-hmm. like how much more, how like the radius and how much more certain properties along the sites can increase and influence the vulnerability of the populations nearby.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you all on this. So Sarah and then Matthew, let's get you in.
Yeah, for sure. It's well studied that stadiums have an immediate 5-mile radius impact to property value and rent. So it can shoot up on average by 28% on rent and 70% by property value. Mm-hmm. That makes our community vulnerable to being priced out of owning their home when property taxes are reassessed. And we know that the area median income for the South Loop, which is considered where the 78 is situated, is almost $80,000 to $100,000 more than Chinatown. Chinatown's at $42,000, and South Loop at $124,000 to $140,000.
Yeah, Matthew. You know, when it comes to the process here of this stadium, as Debbie pointed out, residents have not been included in this conversation. How does yes. that feel to you?
As someone who grew up in Chinatown and uses all of its resources mm-hmm. that it has, it feels like we aren't really being bought in, which we should be. And there's also like a history of Chinatown not being or being sidelined, you know, being put on the back burner. And I feel like this trend just needs to stop because people rely on Chinatown for more than just like buying boba or going to a restaurant or appreciating its exotic architecture.
People live there.
Exactly, exactly.
It's home.
Yeah, it's a thriving residential community. It's a port of entry neighborhood for immigrants to assimilate, et cetera.
Yeah. And, you know, even still, I think of there are a lot of people who live in neighborhoods and things are happening. Developments are coming up and going down and they kind of keep their heads down. It's, you know, whatever. I don't have a dog in that fight. You know, I don't have a say. Why is the fight so important to you? Why is it so important to speak up, Sarah?
CBCAC and the rest of Chinatown, it was really CBCAC was founded on the fact that everybody should have a seat at the table. Even if you don't have time to, you know, go to a town hall, you should vote. You should stand up for what you need and advocate for what you need and have tools to do that. So it's been a long history of 27 years of really gathering community members together, empowering them to speak up.
Yeah. What do you say to people, Debbie, who say, well, the 78 isn't even in Chinatown's ward. Why do you care?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's adjacent to Pingtown Park. And Pingtown Park, the history there is actually really important and important note here because Chinatown in its current location on Cermak and Wentworth had been there for like about now over 100 years. But a couple years ago, Chinatown wanted to create a vision plan. And in the vision plan, I highlighted some key things that they wanted: a new library, a high school, a park space. That was because there was a park space that was taken away due to the highway constructions in the 60s. And so there were leaders really trying to push for green space, field house, swimming pool to be returned back to the community. And now that we fought so hard for it, now it could potentially all be at risk. And what was that all for then if this is, you know, the trajectory that we're on?
Yeah, people are also saying, but a stadium's a good thing.
Right.
Then you say?
The economic development that's promised by stadiums is usually just does not outweigh the threat to surrounding communities, the gentrification and displacement.
So this isn't the first time Chinatown has organized around development, right? Let's go back to early 2022, the protests around the proposed casino. Mm-hmm. What can you share?
Yeah. We gathered a lot of community members to rally, attend town hall meetings. At the point, there was three proposals. So there were town hall meetings that was hosted. It was a packed room. People asked a lot of questions and raised concerns about this long history of problem gambling being an issue in the community. 27 years later, we still have Bally's busing just from Chinatown Argyle.
Mm-hmm.
We have problem gambling social service programs now, but that doesn't end here. It's a continuous problem.
And then, I mean, this is not just 2022. We can go back to the 90s, right, to talk about this particular fight. Right before we went on air with today's program, we spoke with C.W. Chan, who is an elder in the community and founder of CBCAC. Let's listen to a bit of what they had to say.
You could not have land casino. So the riverboat casino, there were six of them around here. Every one of them sent the bus to Chinatown 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and became totally out of hand. And at the time, I felt like it's time for the community to act. I talked to the police. I talked to the alderman. Didn't go anywhere. So the same trick at one occasion, I was able to talk to the mayor, so I brought it up to the mayor and started people say, the police started calling me, hey, what are you doing here? So we were able to address the issue of the casino during the late 90s. From that experience, we learned that somehow the community had to get together and organize ourselves.
Yeah. Your thoughts as you listened to C.W. Chan there, Sarah?
I love him. He's our visionary founder and really a North Star in the community. He came, you know, as an immigrant himself for higher education, and he decided to devote his life to this community.
Yeah. At one point, as we talk about other development plans here, what was the hotel proposal? And you sort of roll your eyes there, Debbie. And the Starbucks?
Well, that was for Chinatown. So a couple years ago, there was a Starbucks that is now in Chinatown. And there was a Marriott Spring Hills that I think there were some concerns about, like, what does it mean for Chinatown to have large corporations, even if they're franchised and locally owned? Like, what does that mean? And how can that shape or change the fabric of Chinatown? And at that time, I think there wasn't clear organizing. I think it was just like, well, here are some thoughts, here are some questions, and here are some case examples mm-hmm. of how it has not turned out so great in Chicago and in other cities and other Chinatowns. And I think now we've become more sophisticated in the ways that we can talk about this, given that there is more research on gentrification and displacement overall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is also to say that during their original plan development for this proposal, they also called for hotels, office, retail, and obviously all of that got shut down due to COVID. So now as they continue to refine and change their plans, there is a lot of new energy around what this site can be. And there are still the original challenges of it being landlocked and it being a constraint in terms of traffic and access.
Yeah.
That is still not necessarily being addressed. I think we're still concerned about, like, what does that mean? And without any clear transparency, they're kind of just not necessarily talking to a community in a very transparent
and
accountable
even
way.
Though this is community members own this, right? This was community member owned and managed?
Oh, yes. For the Chinatown Starbucks and hotels, yes. Yeah. Yes, they are owned by Chinese folks that are from the community.
Mm-hmm. Ping Tom Park. We talked about Ping Tom Park earlier, Sarah. Let's talk about that example. Because it's kind of like on the flip side where organizing worked,
mm-hmm.
right? And,
right.
And we had some inclusivity there.
Right. It took a long time, right? Like Debbie mentioned earlier, for 40 years, the community was without a green space and a field house. It took really elders, current elders, but at that time very energetic and organizing together to advocate for the land and get Park District to purchase the land. But it was 40 years of youth like Matthew at the time
mm-hmm.
Without a green space. And it took even longer for the field house to come to fruition. The field house and the library both was a result of 2015 advocacy and petitioning. So it wasn't a magic wand. It didn't just appear, and we still didn't have a field house for a long, long time after that.
Again, Matthew, I mean, how does it feel to hear about this, like the length of time here, right? And it sounds almost, when we think about present day, like have we advanced? Have we, you know, have, are our voices being heard?
Yeah. I think the exact like term that they like to use is two generations of people or Chinatown residents were, did not have access to a green space. On your question about have we advanced? I think there is, like I said, a long history of Chinatown being put on the back burner. Chinatowns in and of itself have been built off of like advocacy, and have been shaped and improved by like threats such as like racism, white supremacy.
Does Chinatown seem like an afterthought?
Yeah, yes. Definitely. I think that's a good word to describe it. But we've really developed per those types of events. And our growth has been sort of stemming from those situations.
Yeah. So I want to stick with you for a little bit here, Matthew, because I feel it's super interesting to hear more about the involvement of young people.
Of course.
Because again, when I talked earlier about people sort of having their heads down, sometimes that is the young people. Yeah. I don't want to stereotype, but just history, you know, sometimes repeats itself. Not the case for you and the Teen Coalition for Chinatown. So tell us about the work that you do.
Yeah, sure. So the Teen Coalition for Chinatown is a group of 15 to 20 high school students from all across Chicago who have come together with a common goal of elevating Chinatown's voice in the development and planning of Chicago, but most urgently the 78 as Chinatown's newest neighborhood. We believe in development being community driven in pursuit of development without displacement, where instead our communities can thrive like they already have.
Yeah.
Currently, our focus is on community education, engagement, and advocacy.
Yeah. And the Teen Coalition for Chinatown was a key player in the town hall meeting last week. I want to hear more about that. Take us there. Mm-hmm. What happened?
So there were around more than 100 residents who showed up, even as the rain that day was not good, but people still showed up. I believe it was around like 60 residents who were in person and more than like 40 on Zoom. We really engaged the community through community education, making a presentation and presenting it about what the 78 is, our concerns, and the history of community activism and what we've done in the past. And then most interestingly, and arguably, in my opinion, the most important thing, we listened to the community. We took community input. There was an open forum, a Q&A where community members could voice their concerns and talk about the things that concerned them after we obviously like gave them the blueprint for what the 78 was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we asked them a bunch of different questions about what they want the site to be, you know. I think a big part of planning and buying in Chinatown is visioning and dreaming what could possibly be on the land.
Right.
Something that like historically has been taken away from Chinatown.
Absolutely. Debbie, how does it feel, born and raised in Chinatown, to hear the next generation really taking stock of this multi-generational effort here in the face of the Fire Stadium? How does it feel for you, someone who's called this place home for a very long time?
I still call it home.
Yes.
Yeah, so I am really proud to see a new generation be able to stand up to, like, either whether that's big developers or just people who have historically had a lot of power or money. So it could be even elected officials. And so just seeing them be so confident and talk to so many different types of people and seeing that actually change or move the needle on certain things, I think is really impressive.
Yeah.
Growing up, I didn't have green space. The only green space was a little play lot adjacent to the highways. And so just to see how the community has grown and changed over time and that there's still people trying to advocate for what is best for Chinatown is actually kind of really heartwarming to know that there are future generations ready.
It's super inspiring. Do you have memories, early memories of like watching the elders organize?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of Chinatown leaders who organized for so long, whether that was through the Chinese American Service League or through just expansion of the Chinatown Square. There were some trusts that were created to ensure that Chinatown can continue to grow and move. And just seeing that has been really inspirational. I know a lot of seniors are still around today, but many have passed the torch. So we're excited.
Yeah. Let's hear from C.W. Chan again, that elder in the community and founder of CBCAC.
We learned two things. First, the older people can be very passionate and can be an asset for the community. And then we learned that the young people as well. So you don't leave anybody behind. And also particularly for the young people this time, we utilize a group of new immigrants. When you're trying to amplify the voice of the community, you can utilize anybody. You give anybody in the community a chance, they will rise to the occasion. Older people, younger people, new immigrant, local student. So those were the progression of our progress.
So in your view, Sarah, as you smile there listening to C.W. Chen, how do we do this the right way? How do we address the concerns of the community and keep residents included in projects that are going to impact their neighborhood?
Yeah. One thing I do want to say before I answer that question is there's more than just Chinatown surrounding the 78. So it's very important to us to be coalition building mm-hmm. with neighborhoods like Pilsen, Little Village, Bronzeville. 5 mile radius is very far.
Good point.
Yeah. So for our community, we continue to listen to them at every turn. We are going to be hosting a lot more educational workshops about how does displacement even happen? What does gentrification look like? What is the current gentrification in, like, you know, index already is for Chinatown with South Loop growing so rapidly. That's really important to us. And we do everything trilingual. Yes. Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese, all the languages that are highly represented in the community.
Very important, mm-hmm. right? And that's how you keep that inclusion piece of things. As you mentioned words, Sarah, like gentrification and displacement. Again, I'm looking at you, Matthew, because I wasn't having those kinds of conversations when I was a teen, mm-hmm. right? But you told our producer as we were getting ready for this conversation that young people right now, they're very aware of these terms. What do you think's changed?
I think our generation, youth, specifically teens, are very aware, especially in Chinatown, acutely aware of terms like gentrification and displacement. People like me who grew up in Chinatown have obviously seen it change. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot more boba shops than we've used to, a lot of more franchise shops. But I feel like the thing that's missing is that there's a lot of movement, but there's not a centralized organization or place where we can like talk, discuss, organize, and plan. Because I think the cool thing about the Teen Coalition for Chinatown is that we can bounce ideas off of each other mm-hmm. and affirm each other and talk about our love for Chinatown, how it's influenced and shaped us. But when you're kind of alone and like individualized, you don't really have that power. So
right.
I think the thing that's missing is coming together.
Stronger together. I always love that phrase. Leave us with this then, Debbie. Advice for maybe other neighborhoods listening and facing similar challenges, where do they start?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of like unpack the data, like where are similar examples showing up, or how do we look at the rate of housing and where it's most impactful, and start talking to your neighbors and start figuring out what are your key concerns, how do you want to get started, coming up with a proposal with your elected officials and really trying to get everyone together. Even if people disagree, like there are still common grounds of like where you see the community moving forward.
We'll leave it there. Debbie Liu is a community member and president of Ping Tom Park Advisory Council. Sarah Teng's with the Coalition for a Better Chinese American Community. And Matthew Zhao is a community member and Teen Coalition for Chinatown intern. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced and mixed by Micah Yason and edited by Dan Tucker. We uplift stories of movers and shakers throughout Chicago. So please, if you want us to highlight someone in your neighborhood, email us at reset@wbez.org. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon.